Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
FordofCorinth.com is having a 2023 inventory blowout sale. Check out all of last year's models in the lot, which must be moved. Bring your enthusiasm and your down payment. Let our team of finance professionals remove the test so you can just drive off our lot. FordofCorinth.com.
You're listening to the Rebel Report podcast, where it's all Ole Miss all the time. Here's your host, Michael Borky.
Check, check, check. Is this thing on? Welcome back, everybody. Glad to see you after a week off on this last day of June. My name is Michael Borky. Appreciate you being here. Again, it's late June. It is hot as you know what outside. You've got the SEC Network doing this welcome to the league thing with Texas and Oklahoma. Forgive my cynicism, everybody. I know I'm kind of cynical. I know that's kind of my thing. But does anybody else care at all about the welcome to the SEC, like the first official day of Texas and Oklahoma joining the league? Like, I understand it from their perspective. Like, Texas is throwing some kind of, like, carnival today or whatever. Like, I get that. That's fine. It's a day of celebration for them. But I could not possibly care less about consuming any of the content around them joining the SEC. We've known that they've been doing this for quite some time now. There's nothing about today that makes it any new or different for me. I don't know. I'm not touching it, honestly. So if you guys are, let me know. I know there's really nothing else going on in sports, especially after the embarrassment Copa America performance against Panama. But hey, we'll have a chance to redeem ourselves tomorrow, or Greg Berhalter is going to get fired one way or the other. But we're not here to talk about Texas and Oklahoma. We're not here to talk about the embarrassing USA soccer everything right now. We're here to talk about Ole Miss sports. And there has been a lot of stuff that has happened since I departed you guys last week. And let's talk about it. Yes, I know I am 10 minutes early today. I was eager to be back. I had to kind of like relearn this software almost because I'm just, I'm such an idiot, I suppose. But we're here to talk about all of that. So the lead, the bad recruiting month, I've got just a couple of thoughts on that. The new uniforms came out. I love talking uniforms, so we'll talk about that. Baseball continues to lose players in the transfer portal, and whatever else comes up in chat. You guys know the drill. I know it's been a full week, but you guys know the drill. And again, I'm glad you're here. My name is Michael Borky. This is Rebel Report Live. Follow me, Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube at Michael Borky, B-O-R-K-E-Y. Is how you spell the last name. If you are watching on YouTube, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast feed wherever you get them. Just search Rebel Report, subscribe, and leave a rating and a review. And if you're listening in podcast form, don't forget to hop on over to the YouTube channel. Before we get into it, I want to tell you that this edition and every edition of the Rebel Report is presented by the Gregory Law Firm. Injuries in sports are inevitable. In life, they occasionally happen. It's unfortunate, but it does. And if that does happen to you, call the attorney that's going to look at you like you are a real human being and not just a number that they can just keep just cycling in and cycling out clients. DJ Gregory of the Gregory Law Firm is going to take care of you and get to know you. Personal injury, also small business and contract disputes. DJ Gregory of the Gregory Law Firm, Saltillo, Mississippi. He will discuss all of your legal options, and it'll be a far more intimate experience than what you could get with some other personal injury firms. DJ Gregory, Gregory Law Firm. Here's the phone number. 662-397-9799, 662-397-9799. Don't delay. Call DJ today, the Gregory Law Firm, presenting Rebel Report Live. So I'll run through my thoughts quickly, and then we'll get to the chat. You guys know how this works. The bad recruiting month in football, and Ole Miss has now fallen to, I'm looking at 24/7. The service of your choice isn't a whole lot different. But right now, the 2025 Ole Miss recruiting class has only 9 commits, 3 of which are 4 stars. They were, before this string of decommitments in the blue chip ratio. So they had half of the recruiting class was 4 or 5 star, and now it's only 1/3, and they are ranked 64th in college football. Now, there's a lot of things. There's a lot of caveats. A lot of things can be true at one single time. The positive spin is that it's June. It's still June as of this recording. Getting upset or excited or anything about the ranking of your recruiting class in June is kind of a fool's errand. Individual players that recruit to your school, great. But if you're pulling up recruiting rankings right now and you see that your team is number 17, well, that's kind of a fool's errand. Like the basketball team right now, depending on your service, and things may have changed since I looked last, but when they got their second commitment, they had the number one ranked basketball recruiting class. That's not going to hold. But the context of that is 2 4-stars, if that's all they sign, would have been a top 25 class last year. 3 4-stars, so let's pretend that they get one more player of that quality, and they're in on guys like that, is a top 15 class. So saying number one is, that's not what you should do right now. You should look at last year's classes, 2 4-stars equals, if they don't sign another player, a top 25 class for basketball at Ole Miss, that's quite good. If they happen to get another one, it's likely a top 20, maybe even a top 15 class. So things change dramatically in recruiting. It is only June. There are many months before signing day. That is absolutely true. They've got time to recover from this string of blue chip decommitments that they suffered really since I've been gone. It's the last couple of weeks, I guess, have been really bad in terms of decommitments. But there is still plenty of time. Getting too bothered about recruiting rankings in June is kind of a stupid thing to do. Also, in the portal era, just talking about high school recruiting is also kind of stupid. People still do that. You've got this thing from people over at Auburn. Well, look at Hugh Freeze's high school recruiting. Well, there's more to roster building than high school recruiting. The stat I point out to you guys all the time is Ole Miss has won more games than everybody in the SEC, including Texas and Oklahoma, not named Alabama and Georgia, over the last 3 years. They have been building through the portal over the last 3 years, and nobody in the SEC besides Alabama and Georgia have had the success that Ole Miss has had on the actual field. So there's more to roster building in this era than high school recruiting classes. So those things are absolutely true. I believe them. It can also be true or fair or rational or reasonable to wonder what the heck is going on. Why did it happen? Why did it happen in such quick succession? And it's fair to be concerned. It is absolutely fair to be concerned. My thought is, when I was seeing those, is one, it seems like it was calculated, having those decommitments, I guess, even though is that even a word? Happening so quickly in succession, it's almost like it was calculated. So what the heck is going on? I don't know the answer to that. I don't know why they happened the way they did. I wish I could offer you more. I'm just being honest. I don't know why it happened. But it's fair to be concerned, because with the momentum that the program seemingly has right now, winning 11 games for the first time, coming off of a Peach Bowl win, signing the number one portal class, getting all kinds of preseason, you know, watch lists and top 10 rankings and stuff like that, why are they having a hard time hanging on to their commitments? You would think that this would be a prime opportunity for Ole Miss to go to the next level in high school recruiting by at least being able to hang on to the guys that they have committed. Because, you know, again, it's early. It's still the summer. There's a long time till signing day, but the overwhelming majority of commitments do stick. That's why flips are so talked about, because they're not as common. Usually commitments tend to stick. So it seems to be, if nothing else, fair to be disappointed in it. Doesn't appear that at the moment they are capturing what should be upward program momentum. Yes, I know that it's early. I know that the portal exists. Kiffin's even tweeted about it, you know, see on the flip side or whatever he said. But why is this happening? Why aren't you able to hold on to your commitments? Why are you struggling in high school recruiting when everything should be pointing to you having momentum and success in that space. What's going wrong there? They've got a lot of time to recover. They've got a lot of time to figure it out. But if you're asking questions and wondering what's going on, you're totally justified and absolutely fair in that concern. The second thing that happened while I was gone was the release of the new uniforms. And, you know, there's been long rumors about this coming. Frankly, there are more rumors about this not being like the only thing that you're going to see this year. I don't know if it's true or not, but apparently there might be something else coming down the pipe. We will see if that ends up becoming true. But what I love about what Ole Miss has done uniform-wise under Lane Kiffin is you guys hear from me all the time. Uniforms and adding new and doing some alternate stuff is just smart for a lot of reasons. One, the recruits love it. The players love it. And those are the guys that actually have to wear the things, right? So if they like it, then they should be able to do that. But you know, the line that I've always used is if Ohio State is not too good to wear alternate and different uniforms, then either are you. Experiment a little bit. Embrace things like the powder blue, because the existence of that color for Ole Miss football is a really cool story. You go, let's say, I don't know, you're in Baton Rouge this year and you're walking into the stadium and the LSU fans are, maybe this isn't the best example because they usually don't say stuff like that to you. But if a fan from another school asks like, hey, where'd the powder blue come from? Actually, it's a really cool story. So way back in the day, they sent the helmets off to get painted, and the painter used the wrong color, and they shipped them back, and it was too late to get them fixed. So they had to wear this color. And the two most iconic players in Ole Miss football history wore powder blue. Archie Manning wore it. So it's deeply rooted in that, and Chucky Mullins wore it as well. And so it's that color is like deeply rooted in the history of Ole Miss football. There's a great backstory and great players have worn it. And so that incorporating that more and more and more into the uniforms and the colors of the school is a really cool thing. And on top of that, what Ole Miss has done with their uniforms, they haven't gone away from what works. It's still simple. It's not like crazy alternate. It's still kind of like the same look in terms of stripes and numbers, and the helmet is generally the same, and they're still using the script Ole Miss. And again, I know that there are rumors possibly of using just the M, and I know people are going to hate that. And frankly, I kind of will too, but it still looks like you. The white jersey with the powder blue accent still looks like an Ole Miss jersey. It's just a little bit different. And again, players and recruits love it. The color has history. It's simple. It's not drastic, but it is new and different, and incorporates history while also bringing in something new to the table. I love it. I know not everybody does, but I do think it's pretty wildly popular for the younger Ole Miss fans as well. It seems to be very popular online, which isn't always the best gauge of popularity, but I do think that they did a really nice job. It still looks like Ole Miss, but it's new. And that is it's a delicate balance, but it's a good one that they were able to achieve with the new uniforms. Also, sidebar, I did have a buddy ask me while I was gone why the new video game hates Ole Miss. I had some fun on Twitter talking about that. But I don't think that the Ole Miss offense was severely underrated in the ratings for the game that's coming out here, I guess this month technically. By the time most of you, or the overwhelming majority of you, listen to this later this month, that video game's coming out, the Ole Miss offense was underrated. But if you look at the stadium atmosphere rankings and the offense and the defense, they're not just targeting Ole Miss. It's all bad. I mean, all of it is bad. Partnering with Pro Football Focus is really funny, as it turns out, because the coaches and the evaluators do not respect those rankings at all, but it's all bad. Colorado's inclusion is an absolute joke. Kyle Field is not the most difficult place to play in college football. I mean, look at the defensive rankings. It's all jacked up, all of it. So, no, I don't think that it was like they're against Ole Miss or whatever. I just think they're a bunch of video game developers that made really bad rating systems, and it's, you know, it is what it is, but it's not like an anti-Ole Miss thing. I think it's an anti-logic thing, because if you look at the stadium rankings and the offense and the defense and those ratings, it's all bad. The lists are horrible. That is not at all going into the season how the teams should be rated on offensive and defensive prowess, and the stadium rankings are truly jacked up. So it's all bad, and so I don't think it's a slight on you. I think it's just they're bad, and they're just really, really bad all around. But the game should still be great, and I know a lot of you guys are going to enjoy it. But anyway, all right, last thing, baseball. Andrew Fisher hits the portal. They've lost a handful of other players to the transfer portal. There's been a lot of discussion about tampering and the fact that whoever is going to get Andrew Fisher did so after he signed a new deal with the Grove Collective and told everybody that he was coming back and things like that. And, you know, maybe that is shady. Maybe telling, and there's no maybe about this, telling your coach and your school that I will be back, signing a new deal for more money, and telling everybody you're returning, and then shortly thereafter turning around and leaving is not something that I would advise my son to do. He has my genes, so he'll never be in this position. Frankly, I don't think he particularly likes baseball anyway. But if I had my son in that position, I would tell him, do not sign a deal unless you are prepared to see it through. Don't negotiate a new contract and a new deal just to leave. So once that's done, that's done. That's what I would tell my son to do. But that is obviously not what happened. But that, I think, is getting mad at the wrong thing, frankly, because that is college sports today. Guys do say things to their current coaches and their current school and then turn around and hit the portal at inopportune times. Guys transfer to one school just to transfer again to a different school just a few weeks after. We've seen it in football. It's dirty. If you're not tampering, you're not winning. If you're not tampering, you're not getting players. It is the current state of college sports. Now, is that morally right? No, it's not, but that's what it is. So getting upset at Andrew Fisher for doing that, I think, is missing what is actually going on, and that Ole Miss baseball is in a terrible, terrible, terrible state. And again, you can get upset with how Fisher went about it, but the reality is Ole Miss's best player from a year ago was offered a raise and still left. That is the state of Ole Miss baseball right now. Their best player was given more money, and he left anyway. Look at who they are, who they've brought in on visits or who they've been in on. These guys are going elsewhere. And the prospects that they're able to seemingly get inroads on are not ones that everybody else in the SEC is after. The current state of the Ole Miss baseball program is one of disaster. It is a disaster. There's no sugarcoating it. There's no spinning it. It is what it is. Great players don't want to play for Ole Miss right now because Ole Miss is not a program at the moment that is looked at as one that's going to win in the immediate future. They have been the worst team in the SEC over the last 2 years since they won a national championship, but they have been the worst. And I think that hand-wringing over, well, they don't have enough money, I think that's also excuse-making. They have enough money to be in a better situation roster-wise than they're currently in. Guys don't want to play for this program right now. That's the reality. Could they have more money? Yes. Do other programs in the SEC have more money? Yes, they do, but there are programs in the SEC that have generally the same amount that are getting players, that are attractive places to go, that have adapted to this era of roster building and the cutthroat nature of what college sports is today. That is the truth. And what I'm not going to do, and maybe it won't be smart business or whatever, I am not going to buy into any sort of preseason hype. Barring some gigantic shift in who they're able to add to this roster, there is There will be nothing coming from me that tells you that you should believe or have optimism going into next season. It is absolutely a believe it when you see it situation. That right now, the expectation should be that after next season, they're looking for a new baseball coach until proven otherwise. There are going to be some places where you can go to find positive spin and optimism for your baseball program going into next season if you want. That's not going to be here. They have been the worst team in the SEC over the last 2 years. They aren't attractive to good players right now. Their best player was offered a raise and still decided to leave. They are currently they are a mess. They are an absolute mess, and the league is getting more difficult with the addition of Texas and Oklahoma. The league is getting more difficult with programs like Georgia and Kentucky, and obviously Tennessee investing more than they ever have. And right now, Ole Miss is seemingly in purgatory. And until things change dramatically, then this is what they're going to be. They're not going to be attractive for guys that maybe have a year left of eligibility or 1 year before they want to enter the draft because they want to win. And tell me why you think that Ole Miss is going to win in 2025. It's a harsh reality, but that is reality with the current state of the baseball program. That'll be reality until proven otherwise. We'll get to your comments after I tell you the podcast is brought to you by Advantage Business Systems. Check them out online. ABSMS.com. Advantage Business Systems has you covered for all of your office technology needs. Tell them I sent you. You'll get a complimentary office technology assessment. So you tell them what you need and what your budget is, and they will find a solution for you on me. That's Advantage Business Systems, ABSMS.com. The podcast is also brought to you by Priority One Bank. Let them make you their priority. You got 16 locations here in Mississippi, so there's very likely going to be one in your backyard. They make you their priority every day with their online banking platform. It's a one-stop shop. All you need is an internet connection. You can do whatever it is that you want to do with your money because Priority One Bank makes you their priority. Welcome in, Brandon. Glad to see you, man. Glad to be back. Welcome back. You just finished moving 18 hours from Pittsburgh to Dallas. Do I know if Media Days typically has anything open to the public, or if it's exclusively media only? So usually, Zach, there is a chance for you to see the coaches and players walk into the venue. I won't be able to tell you until I get there what that's going to look like because it's new. You know, we've never been in Dallas before. I could tell you, you know, if it was back in Hoover, exactly where you could go. When it was in Atlanta at the College Football Hall of Fame, you know, same thing. I have no idea what to expect. You can assume that there's going to be an opportunity for you to see Kiffin and whoever the three players are, whether it's like an autograph session possibly because they've done those. I don't know for sure, but there's very likely an opportunity for you to see Kiffin and the three guys at some point. You won't be able to get in anywhere, but there's very likely an opportunity for you to see them if you want to. Texas had a parade, right? I don't know if they did. I didn't consume a second of it, truthfully, but that wouldn't surprise me. I mean, why not? Look, if it was Ole Miss joining the SEC, you know, we would do some special stuff for it as well. But I'm just a – what else is there to say about Texas joining the SEC that hasn't already been said? 4 hours of coverage today. There's no way that was interesting to anybody other than a Texas fan. You'll be scoping out good food in the area. Let me know, man. Let me know for sure. We'll do a lot of content on here that week for sure. Prices for football tickets continue to rise. Do I think it will get to a point where the average Joe can't afford to go? Absolutely. And we're already there. You guys know, I mean, I see you in here a lot, so you know how I feel about how the average Joe fan is getting priced out of sports. I fell in love with sports because my dad took me to everything when I was a kid. I mean, we saw it all. It's because we could afford to see it all, and I can't do for my son what my dad did for me. It's just not financially, I can't do it. And I'm not even talking about the economy, really, although, you know, we certainly can if you want to. That's not in great shape either, but the sports economy is pricing people out. Your username is Saints fan. Have you looked at the price of the new, like if you wanted to get a Saints shirt what the cost is of a t-shirt now, a hat. I looked at here. I'll do it right now. I want to take James to the season opener for the Saints because I think that might be the cheapest ticket. It's the Panthers. You know, people aren't really going into the season riding very high on this team. Perfect. $40 tickets, although they're way up, and I don't think you'd really be able to see anything. But $40 tickets, right? So what do you think the cost of those $40 tickets should be? $80, right? No, $134. It's not really focusing. $134. $21 fees for each ticket for some reason, and then $12 in taxes. $134 for two $40 seats to go to a football game. We're all being priced out of it. Absolutely. Now, in Ole Miss's case, they sold out season tickets. The demand is going to far exceed the supply this season. So this isn't the best example, but generally, yes. On the uniforms, they're great, and it's what many people have wanted. Compliments to the Sugar Bowl helmet so well. Compliments the Sugar Bowl helmet so well. Wish we could see stripes on the pants one day. As I understand it, the head coach doesn't want them, but I could be wrong. New prop bet for the season is if Borky is early or late. It'll be more likely later than early. Bedtimes for little man. I mean, he's not so little anymore. So, 7:30 certainly is not happening anymore. So, more likely to be a little bit later than earlier, but still. Mike Bianco needs to call the Grove Collective. There is certainly something that could be that they could be more proactive raising money in baseball. Not the Grove Collective. I'm talking about the head of baseball. Football funds itself. Chris Beard has been very boots on the ground when it comes to fundraising. Baseball could afford to do the same. Is the Gregory Law Firm going to support Texas fans when they go 8-4 this year? Yeah, man, the arrogance is unbelievable. So I know it's just a Barstool account, but I couldn't help myself today. Barstool Longhorn, watching the SEC schools panic at the idea of Texas and OU joining has been fun to watch. Monday becomes a reality, and July 1st, 2024 will mark the day Texas Athletics began their domination of the SEC. All right, guy. Texas has won the Big 12 one time, literally one time. The Big 12, right? Very bad conference. One time. Since I graduated high school, one Big 12 championship since I graduated high school. They have won four Big 12 championships since I was four, which is my son's age. And this idea that they're going to come in and dominate the SEC, that arrogance, it's going to. Oklahoma comes in. It feels like Oklahoma's coming in with the right mindset, and Texas is coming in with a humbling that's headed their way. At least it should go down like that if the sports gods were just. Baseball is going to be miserable next season, and it may be beyond that. It's unfortunate what has happened since 2022, but it feels like things are spiraling out of control and won't stop anytime soon. Another one, I'm wondering what in the world is happening with our baseball team and why they can't get players to come to Ole Miss. Is it coaching or is it money? It's something. It's very clear that they have done a very poor job of development and people have noticed and they're not winning. Honestly, take what, as weird as this is about to sound, take the fan support and the facilities and stuff out of the equation, right? Just take that out. What has Ole Miss baseball been for 24 months? Pathetic. Who wants to jump on board with that? Seemingly, a coach that is on an extremely hot seat, the only thing that kept his job was his contract. So a coach on the hot seat, possibly a lame duck, coaching a team that has been pathetic for 24 months. Who are you going to get to sign up for that? That's the harsh reality. Who are you going to get to sign up for that? There's a lot of great stadiums in the SEC. There's a lot of great fan bases in the SEC. Ole Miss is a bit unique for sure, but it's not exclusive. It's not one of one. So if you have a chance to go to Tennessee or Ole Miss right now, where are you going? Who would you rather play for? Who would you rather play for, Tony Vitello or Mike Bianco, right now, today? Who would you rather play for? As much of a snake as he is, Schlossnagel at Texas or Mike Bianco? That's the reality that it is what have you done for me lately? And what Ole Miss baseball has been lately is awful. What else can be said? You can't spin it any other way. You're currently applying for a job at EA Sports to do their ranking, so next year might be mildly accurate. Yeah, seriously, take Ole Miss out of the equation. Look at the rest of them. It's all pathetic. You think they'll be okay recruiting-wise? They tend to pick things up later in the year. Now, it's not good by any means, but other schools who won half the games Ole Miss did bragging about recruiting isn't always the smartest. Yeah, never brag about your recruiting ranking when you have a full class in June. And here, I'll tell you about it. So you have the usual suspects, Ohio State, Alabama, Georgia up top, but let's see. Rutgers is number 12. Why is Rutgers number 12? They have 28 commitments. TCU is number 14. Why are they number 14? They have 21 commitments. Wisconsin is number 16. Why? 21 commitments. Georgia Tech, 18. Georgia Tech is ranked ahead of Texas right now. They have 20 commitments. That is why to Texas's 12. South Carolina is in the top 20. Stanford is number 22. Duke is number 23. West Virginia is 21. Syracuse is 26. They all have full classes. That is why it is going on. That's why that is. Florida State's number 35. They have 9 commitments, 8 4-stars and a 5-star. But they're number 35 in recruiting rankings. Would you rather have Florida State's class or would you rather have Syracuse's class that has 24 4-stars? Or excuse me. No. 24 3-stars, and that's it. That's usually how that is. It did seem calculated, and this goes for everywhere. I think some prospects plot together on things. Absolutely, they do. Finally, someone says it. Unacceptable month. We're like 70th now. Please, no script M. I don't know. I do not know. But there's reason to believe that it might be out there. You're on the side of wearing red and the powder helmets against LSU, not the powder blue. But man, that the color contrast with the sun setting last year. Are you crazy? The golden hour? Oh man, I think you're nuts. Oh, the visuals were awesome. But yeah, especially going to Baton Rouge, I think they need to wear red. Powder blue is almost a pastel. It is very, very light, isn't it? Tennessee got it the worst by EA. No kidding, man. But hey, whose offense would you rather have this year? Whose offense would you guys rather have, Tennessee's or Colorado's? I mean, give me a break. Give me a break. At least 5 of the top 25 defenses finished in the hundreds last season. Yeah, like LSU suddenly is going to have a great defense. Gish. And in Iowa, what was Iowa, 13? Yeah. You don't know how it's legal, how that's even legal to have gambling in a game kids can play that already costs $70 to $100. So I don't know what you're talking about with these gambling card packs things. I honestly have no idea. I'll have to look into that, but. Yeah. You don't think Ole Miss can be great at the same time in all three sports, and baseball has been passed by most of the conference. It's falling fast and isn't coming back anytime soon. I said this on Twitter, but I think it bears repeating. I never thought that I would be able to say that the baseball team is by far in the worst shape of the big three sports at Ole Miss. I never thought I'd be able to say that. But that's the truth. I mean, football is absolutely where it is, and basketball is certainly in better shape, and people are feeling better, and they're recruiting better, and they're portaling better than baseball. You know, they're certainly in position to win more games, and they're more respected, and fans care more. Not, excuse me, that's a debate for another day. Fans are more optimistic about the current state of it. I never thought I'd say that. And you know who replied to that tweet and agreed is Zach Cozart. Whew. Ole Miss needs a lot of players. Yeah, and at the moment, they're not getting them. Who will be the jersey patch sponsors for Ole Miss and State? So Chase Parham had this, that Ole Miss is going to have a 25-yard line sponsor. I have no idea who that's going to be. I think that, the field stuff will come first before jersey patch. But like I said, when the news broke that that is going to be a thing that people can do and they will do because you never want to fall behind, you'll notice it at first and then you'll never notice it again. Like the jersey patches in the NBA, I don't even notice them anymore. I couldn't tell you who the sponsors are of the non-Pelicans. Like, I have no idea who, well, Loves, right? Didn't Loves do the Thunder, the truck stop? But that might even be different now. I don't even notice them anymore. Don't even see it. So the same thing will happen here too. Like, you'll notice it when you walk into the stadium for the first time and see a logo on the field. And then after that, you won't see it. It'll just be there. You won't see it anymore. So, what did I think about Schloss leaving for Texas and the ensuing A&M meltdown? I actually completely understand why A&M melted down the way they did. You guys know I like to kind of pick on them a little bit, but I understand completely why that happened. He had accepted a job at another school weeks before the season ended, and the team made a run to a championship. Like, he was – it's – you know, it's the business is what it is. Players do it too. But the way he went about it was gross. Going after that reporter the way he did, calling that reporter selfish. It was all bad. But, you know, I also understand why he wanted to coach at Texas over A&M. The way he approached it, though, was horrible. Going after that reporter, again, I thought was just really bad form. That's what a weak person does, frankly. Is when somebody asks you a very softball question too, he worded it in a way that you could brush it off and understand that he's got a job to do. And instead he called him selfish and went through all that BS and then left for their bitter rival the next day. It's an ugly thing, but that is college sports. But stuff like that is why the players are now getting to do what they do. And spare me the whole, well, the coaches have contracts. Yeah, they do, but do they? Because he didn't have to honor his contract with Texas A&M. Well, but somebody had to pay for it, as if that was cost prohibitive for Texas at all. Give me a break. The buyout, there's two different buyout numbers in contracts. The one that the school has to pay the coach when they fire him, and the one that another school has to pay the coach when they hire him away. And those are two dramatically different numbers. Let's not pretend like there's prohibition on coach movement either, because there's not. Stop that. It's such a false equivalent. On both sides, really. It just college sports is a mess. It's a mess. It really is. And when the games happen, you don't notice anything different. I mean, the ratings are up and all of that, so I guess people are still locked in, but stuff like what Schlossnagel did is just garbage. The way he handled it in doing that is garbage, and that doesn't happen in pro sports because it can't happen in pro sports because they have rules and restrictions, and that's why pro sports are so much better than college sports when it comes to structure. And that's why I say all the time, college sports could stand to become more like pro sports when it comes to structure. But people think that I'm like trying to ruin college sports. I'm not. I just, they need structure. It's only hubris if I fail. Julius Caesar, who was a Texas fan and paid cash for his water bed. not saying the programs are the same, but it feels like Ole Miss baseball and Arkansas football are in a similar boat. Both are sort of being punted on for next season, and then changes come. It's not a bad comparison at all. I've seen people compare Ole Miss baseball to Clemson football, and I could not possibly disagree more. Dabo Swinney, while not adapting in the transfer portal era at all, and while I think that it's going to lead to his program's downfall relative to what they have been under him, look at the recruiting classes he's still bringing in. And the last 2 years, they've won 20 games. Won 20 games in the last 2 years. We're 3 years in the 3 years of the portal era, Clemson has won 10, 11, and 9 games. He's still winning. Like, it feels different for sure, but he's still winning. Ole Miss baseball is not winning. They're embarrassing, is what they are. You think Tony Vitello is the best coach in college baseball? There's certainly an argument for that. Glad to see you, William. Welcome in. Do I think the use of the transfer portal has hurt and is hurting Ole Miss in its recruiting? Maybe. I don't know. I haven't thought about that, but maybe. You know, it could be something that people are using against them anyway, is, hey, look, you're going to go to Ole Miss to play running back, but look at what they just did in the portal. They signed three of them. So why would you sign there when they're just going to go portal one? I can see somebody trying to sell that to a recruit for sure. Baseball needs a reset, and if not for the buyout, it should have happened this year. I think it would have. I don't know that for sure, but I think so. We just thought they were bad the last couple of years. Oh, I wonder what the schedule is going to look like, too. 4 years ago, you would have said I was crazy. I would have said I was crazy regarding baseball being the worst. Absolutely. Okay, so here's the video game gambling explainer. Ultimate Team is the main online mode in sports games, which typically revolve around buying microtransaction currency to spend on random chance card packs you use to build teams. Some games have virtual slot machines. That's great for kids. Yeah, let's just get it in there early. Maybe you're in the minority here just because you like NASCAR, but I'm a fan of the corporate logos and patches. I do love this idea that, oh, college football is becoming corporatized. Well, as if it wasn't before. The Rose Bowl game presented by Capital One, and that will – look, College Game Day presented by Home Depot is going to lead into the Rose Bowl game presented by Capital One, and after the Rose Bowl game is going to be the Sugar Bowl game presented by Allstate. I mean, what are we talking about? It's already been corporatized. And you know, it's – and you have already had corporations in it like Kroger Field of Kentucky, but you know, people have been buying the names of stuff. Just because it's not a corporation doesn't mean that it's not money that got John and Sandy Black's name on the pavilion. You know, Hollingsworth Field is Hollingsworth Field because Dr. Hollingsworth gave a lot of money. Just because it's not Hollingsworth Incorporated doesn't mean that name wasn't paid for. The corporatization of college sports kind of thing is kind of goofy to me. They've been negotiating $100 million plus contracts for years. You have a sponsor slapped on everything. I don't understand that criticism. There's a lot of things to actually criticize when it comes to college football. That's not one of them. It's already everywhere. Always pick on A&M, always. Those poor guys. I mean, I feel really bad for them. The harsh reality of losing your baseball coach that just took you to the national championship literally a day later to your most hated rival that you are so mad are joining your conference. I couldn't imagine. Whew. Schloss basically admitted to leaving when he went after the reporter, but I understand leaving for Texas, not a good look. Oh, who cares, man? It's the end of June. Thoughts on Bronny? I'm not talking about the whole nepotism discussion. I mean, like, what's going to happen in his career in the end of LeBron's. He has got – it's one of two things have to happen. He has got to dramatically improve his game, or else he will be gone the second LeBron's gone. LeBron is the only reason why he's on the Lakers. LeBron is the only reason why he will make the Lakers. If his last name was Bronny Johnson instead of Bronny James, he not only would not have been drafted, he never would have entered the draft because he would still be in college, not playing at a place like USC. I know he had the health issue that set him back, but he's never been an elite prospect, ever. He's not an elite player, does not have an elite skill set that can develop. Look at Anthony Edwards. Look at what Anthony Edwards is now compared to what he was in college. Now, he was a much more physical freak in college than Bronny is. But no, it's a cool thing that LeBron is able to play with his son. You know, take your thoughts on the situation and him aside. The fact that he has been in the league long enough to be on a team with his son is a testament to him, but it's not a testament to his son. It's a testament to nepotism. That's the only reason why he's there. The way it's been covered is kind of a joke. People are unwilling to call it what it is, and it's a shame because he's not ready. Clearly, he's not ready. His performance in college has proved it. And so, anyway. Where do Lakers go in the future? Nowhere after LeBron leaves. They're going to fall into a pit just like they did at the end of the Kobe era. Also, the Grizzlies taking Zach Edey concerns you. Feel like he can either be a specific role player or a complete waste of a pick. Really wanted Klingon. But him running pick and rolls with Ja is at least going to be fun. You know? At least you're going to have that. Edie's improved a lot over the years. See, he's an example of why you stay in college if you're not ready for the NBA. 3 years ago, he wasn't ready for the NBA. Now his game is a lot more refined. He's got more skill. Now he's still a bit slow, but he's a skilled basketball player. He's not just tall. He does have some skill, and he proved that in their run. He's good. He's smart. He gets in good position, stuff like that. He developed over time to get into this position. Physically, I don't know if he'll be able to defend in this league, but the line of thinking, like, you can explain why they did that. You know what I mean? Imagine the uniform opportunities, too, if they had some of the best uniforms in the country, pre-sponsorships. Think what they could look like with different schemes, et cetera. Yeah, if Realtree really wanted to get involved and really spend, then they could do a lot of cool stuff, I think. Odds A&M leaves the Big Ten within the next 10 years. You know, people keep talking about that. It wouldn't surprise me. Would not surprise me. And I know that's crazy to say out loud because it makes no sense for them to be in the Big Ten, but it makes no sense for USC to be in the Big Ten. It makes no sense for Stanford and Cal to be in the ACC. It just doesn't matter anymore. That would open the opportunity for the SEC to – frankly, Missouri leaving for the Big Ten would make more sense. But that they just fit better there. It's unfair to the other players who work just as hard, if not harder, than him. Bron shouldn't have been allowed to have drafted him. I mean, I guess the team can pick whoever they want, right? But I think it's more unfair to him. I think it's unfair to him because now he's going to have expectations that doesn't appear that he will meet. But yes, I agree. That's part of why the NBA is losing the appeal, because it's about marketing. It's about Instagram and Twitter and Stephen A. Smith, right? Like, for the NBA Finals, the broadcaster of the Finals was doing, like, the bus tunnel entrance for their analyst. Like, they made it about themselves and not the players. And the coverage of the league has become about not basketball. Because frankly, guys, the basketball has been pretty good. And I know they don't play defense, whatever. No, I watch. I watch all the time. The basketball's good. The players are good. There's a lot of stars. There's a lot of people worth watching. There's a lot of appointment viewing. I mean, I mentioned Anthony Edwards, but it's not just Anthony Edwards. You've got Luka in Dallas. You've got Zion in New Orleans. You've got Ja in Memphis. You've got Trae Young in Atlanta. You've got guys all over this league that, I mean, you still have Giannis. You have what just happened with Boston. Phoenix and Devin Booker. I mean, there is so much good that never gets the attention. Denver with the Joker and looking like he drinks 10 2-liters a day, yet he's got the most skill in the world. The basketball is really good, and the players and the stars are really good. It's really compelling, but they never tell you about it. And because they never tell you about it, you don't have a reason to watch, and instead it's all the other BS. And because it's all they promote is BS, the average sports fan on a Tuesday night doesn't want to put on the NBA game because all the discourse around it is clown stuff. The coverage of the league is clownish, and because it's so clownish, it tunes people out. I don't think it's just like, you know, like Clay Travis is, well, they went woke, so they went broke. Well, there's more to it than that. There's a lot more to it than that. Maybe that's part of it. I wouldn't argue against that. I think the way that it's presented and covered, though, is a detriment to it. Texas and Oklahoma fit more in your eyes? Absolutely. A&M doesn't feel like an authentic SEC school to you. Either does Missouri. Yeah. North Carolina would fit great. NC State would fit great. You guys have heard me say that before. Honestly, I think Virginia would fit. I know it's they would fit more than Missouri. That's for sure. Yeah, I kind of think that Woj was used in the Hurley deal. I really think so. But anyway, you guys are awesome. I appreciate you. Glad to be back. Very, very glad to be back. We will be live on Tuesday. And, I mean, 4th of July is Thursday. That's the only problem with Thursday. I'll let you know Tuesday. I'll either do something live or record something for Thursday. But either way, we're back to our schedule. You will get something Thursday, but I know it's the 4th. So anyway, again, glad to be back. You guys are the best. Appreciate you being here. And I'll see you on Tuesday. Y'all enjoy the rest of your weekend, and I'll see you then.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.